It's been a long week. Grab a beer and sit back. It's Brew Talk time. Here's Tanner Chad and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Good Wednesday evening, Northern Colorado. Welcome in. It is Brew Talk. I am Tanner Schwint. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Excited to be with you here on this Wednesday evening. Guys, let's start off with just the cold hard truth. We love the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We do a lot of shows out of here. These chairs are not as comfortable as the ones we were at last week when we were over so at Grimm,
true.
Right?
It I mean, that's so true.
It's not quite as comfortable. Chad's awake, at least.
I'm awake. I was going to say, it's probably a good thing these aren't as comfortable. We wouldn't have much of a show every week.
No, we'd all just be one of us each week. It seems like that's the balance behind the scenes that hopefully you guys don't see or hear when you watch or listen to the show, and is that one of us always seems to be not down, but maybe not as energetic as the rest. I mean, right? I mean, there's normally just one of us.
Well, sometimes, yeah, I think you're right.
Tonight
it's
feels
usually the person that has a sinking chair.
Oh, or the one that tilts off to the side like I do tonight.
The chairs are bad in here. That's not the point. I feel like tonight, the energy, we're all kind of equal here. I feel like we're all up tonight.
I think it's good, yeah.
Ready to go on this one?
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a fun one because
I'm liking the style.
The style's good. We're going to get to that in just a second, but let's introduce everybody else involved here. Yeah, there's other people here. Ryan Kelly doing the production work, as always, for us. Back behind, thankfully for him, that bulletproof glass. Also joining us is Don Chapman, the owner of Grimm Brothers Brewhouse. Don, you made the trip to us this time. I'm sorry that our chairs are not as comfortable as yours.
Oh, that's okay. I'll survive.
Will you? Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
There's beer here. So.
There is beer here. Thank you so much for joining us. We had a blast out there last week. I will start off by saying your staff is incredible. We talked with almost every aspect of that brewery, and everyone could speak very well, and I think that goes a long way.
Well, thank you very much. They're good people.
They really are, Aaron and everybody else. And, of course, Morgan thought that she was not going to get interviewed last week. So I'm going to have to ask you, we'll ask off air, so you don't have to give an honest answer. We'll get you on record saying, no, we can't call her tonight.
Okay.
But then if we have to call her later, because I told her we were going to do an interview with her, and she goes, nope, there's I'm not answering my phone. Because we've talked to Morgan quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But so we might have to mess with her and just give her a call later on.
I think that's great.
I love it. I love it. He's behind it. Tonight, Dr. Mosier again picking the, if you can't decide, Chad and I just kind of like, we like beer. Go ahead and Doc. And he picks a style. This is better than Iceland.
I don't know. That's debatable.
It's not.
I was actually really impressed with those Iceland beers we tried.
The beer, yes. The journey to Iceland and the food, no.
You didn't journey to Iceland.
In my head, I did. It felt like it.
And we didn't try the fermented shark.
You just heard fermented shark and thought it was that was it.
So
don't act like
but we've
I'm
got
irrational.
A pretty good style now, which kind of fits a little bit with the season. So we're in winter, and
but
so
it was 60 today too.
Yeah, but it was 60 today. So we need something that reminds us that summer's coming, but we also need a little bit of a winter warmer, and hence the reason why we chose the style.
And the style is double IPA here tonight. We're going to go with something a little different for Beer 30. Beer 30 is going to be extended by a little bit. We are going to try, I believe we've got four double IPAs on the table here tonight. We are going to blind taste test them, discuss it, then rate it that way without knowing what beer it is. So Ryan, I know Ryan, I'm going to ask you for a little more than the bare minimum here tonight. That's what I'm asking from you tonight. I appreciate it. We're going to put all four of these in there and go. What are you guys' thoughts on this? Do you think this is going to be different? Do you think you're going to be able to know instantly about what type of beer you've got in your glass? Or Chad, what are your thoughts on this?
No, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to give us a chance to play beer festival judge. Mm-hmm. And kind of get that experience. And I think a lot of times when you know what beer you're tasting.
Preconceived notions.
Yeah, exactly. So I think this is going to be a fun way, and we'll get some we'll get some honest ratings out of it.
Don and Doc, have you guys been beer judges before? I'll start with you first, Don, if that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have?
Yep, I'm a certified beer judge.
Certified. Okay. Doc?
Yeah, sorry. No, I've never been a beer judge.
So we're going to live out our dreams tonight with a we're going to make ourselves look like fools in front. What are a couple of things that you look for right off the bat? Like, are you that familiar with what the double IPA standard should be, what the guidelines are?
You know, I'm not. I would have to have the guidelines in front of me to know exactly. But as far as just a drinkable beer, that's, you know, that's always what you're really looking for.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Do you factor that in when you're a beer judge? I mean, do you factor in the if I was at a bar, would I order this again?
Yeah, there's an overall kind of feel to a beer that you want to take into account. It has to match the guidelines for sure. But then there's always a little bit of room for, you know, is this a good beer or, you know, does it need more balance or whatever?
Yeah, so that drinkability aspect of
exactly,
it is important.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's definitely taken into account.
Well, and that's the one that you get, and Doc, we do this every time. If you listen to the show, Beer 30, Chad puts his 2 cents in there with the gray beer that he's drank. Doc's like, well, X plus Y equals this, and then he gives his scientific rating. And my ultimate standard, and this is why I'll never be a beer judge, is would I order this again at a bar? What, if I sat there, would I order this at a bar? Would I grab a six-pack and take it home with me? And I think at the end of the day, that's what it all like boils down to, right? Because that's what moves
beer. That's ultimately why brewers make beer, right?
Absolutely.
For people to buy and enjoy and drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's a legitimate one. You've seen some of the selection here, Doc, on the table. Yeah. Preliminary thoughts.
The double IPA style, if depending upon the hop characteristics that are chosen for that particular brewery, can make this a very difficult choice to choose between one versus the other. So hopefully we've got a variety of different hop varietals that are being sampled here, so we can really tell some difference between the beers. If we can't, it's going to be a challenge because high alcohol.
I was just going to ask, will that high alcohol change some things? Because
yeah,
it kind of mellows out things a little bit. Could that play a big role tonight?
It can, because the warming effect of the higher alcohol, if it's balanced, you'll be able to tell really well. If it's something's out of whack, it'll be real obvious, that kind of stuff. So it's going to be an interesting one to look at.
Especially by that fourth one, we'll be
fourth.
Woohoo! Well,
and by then, it might be the 12th one by that time. You never know. It is still an hour away.
Brew Talk, sponsored by Uber. Get out of here responsibly tonight. Talking about some of these beers. The four here, there's one that stands out. And just backstory to right now, that's what we're all doing. We're trying these four beers so that we'll – I don't believe anybody's had these four beers other than right now, tonight, in the past week. Is that right?
Correct.
So we're all trying a little bit of it right now, so we're all going to have – because apparently that's cheating if you had a couple times when we've done other blind taste tests when I beat Doc. That's cheating. Is that right?
Yeah, sure.
It is cheating? Don, come on.
It is when you're trying to guess which beer is which.
Come on, man.
To guess which beer is which, it's cheating.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Rubbin's racing.
Well, Rubbin's not racing. Cheating. Rubbin is racing.
That is true. Welcome. We're here in Brew Talk as we talk up talk what we're going to talk about the rest of the show here. You've got some table beer, so we need to get through these double, because no offense to any of the beers here we've got on the table, but I'm pretty pretty excited about what he walks in. Whenever we have a guest walk into the studio and it's like, there's a, was that 4 6-packs of beer?
What would that be, a case, Tanner?
Whenever somebody walks in with a case of beer into the station, thanks, Chad. We all get pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and I'm not laughing because I always used to call them a flat, but same thing.
Yeah, see? The more you know. Rye, my producer, I asked for more than the bare minimum tonight, Rye. Where's the more you know? Are you ready for this? What is this called, Chad?
That's a case.
Or a flat.
Thank you. Appreciate it. What beers did you bring in for us tonight, Don?
Let's see. So we have a Little Red Cap, kind of one of our go-tos. Mm-hmm. We have our IPA, which is Dragon Bloom. our Pilsner Three Golden Hairs, and then the one we just released this last weekend, we had mentioned last week, is Bleeding Heart. So,
how is that? How did that release go? Is it, and talk about a little bit too about how big of a difference it is with the COVID restrictions about a beer release compared to a normal year.
Yeah, well, yeah. Usually our beer releases in the tap room are quite massive, but you know this one was it was a good night. For a COVID night, so we had the tables, you know, all of our tables responsibly social distanced, but they were people were there enjoying it. So, and this one this year is a Baltic Porter with vanilla and bourbon. So
yeah, we previewed that last week. Really looking forward to it. Before we get to that, because we're going to spend a segment dedicated to this beer. We're gonna try it. We won't rate it because of. Integrity, I guess, is some word that they told me that I needed to throw out there.
Integrity?
Yeah, whatever that means. We'll try it, talk about it, obviously, and we'll talk to you about the process that went into it. First, we'll take a break when we come back on the other side. This I talked about this a little bit on NoCo Now today. Want to recap it. Liquor stores are bent out of shape that restaurants and breweries can now sell to-go beer. Shut your mouth, liquor stores. We'll talk more on the other side. It's Brew Talk Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
So I don't normally do this. I don't like to talk about the music. Who's singing that right now? That is not their song. Ryan?
It's Vince Neil.
Is that Vince Neil's song?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, not at all.
I definitely didn't think so. Want to check back in. We'll go back into Brew Talk. I had to do a quick sound check there. Make sure I wasn't completely wrong on the music. I am Tanner Schwint, Chad Young, owner of the Tavern at St. Michael Square, joining us. Dr. Michael Mosier, UNC Brewing and Laboratory Sciences. Don Chapman, the owner of Grimm Brothers, joining us as well. Ryan Kelly doing the production work. Welcome in again. Okay, fellas, let's dive into this. This article and the story caught me so far off guard because I thought, you know, there's multiple times in the radio world this last year that I thought, you know, I'd like to be in a different industry, you know, and not, I love my job. I love everything here, but
no idea why that would be.
I have no idea either. One of the industries that I would have picked to jump into would have been the liquor store industry last year because liquor sales went up. And liquor stores don't depend on being able to stay inside of your store. So when I saw this headline today that said liquor stores worried about the future, I was like, what? Are you kidding me? So this is out of the Colorado Sun if you want to check it out. The moral of the story is that they talked to this liquor store owner. If you want to read who it is and where it is, well, it's in Denver. I'll say that. But if you want to talk about who the owner is, check out the story. Again, you can find it via the Coloradoan, but the Colorado Sun. And he goes on to say, well, yeah, we made money last year. And I knew that but was coming. And I was like, how dare you? And he said, but the number of customers we saw went down. So the number of customers they saw, and he points back to 2018 when they started to expand the growth of who can own a liquor store and where can it be and all of those things. He says, since January 2018, my numbers have been down. It's been a steady decline since then.
Liquor stores or grocery stores could sell full strength beer
right.
in January of 2018? 2019.
Right. 2019. And so when we went back and listened to even this show a year ago, how naive were we? We thought our biggest problem was going to be talking and advocating for those liquor stores about making sure shop locally at these liquor stores. Mm-hmm. Don't go through these. And look, we've got a great sponsor of the program, On the Rocks Liquor, that we were talking. They were worried about it, right? And they had a great 2020. Like, just to be completely transparent, they liquor stores in general had a great 2020, but they still think that these ramifications from allowing King Soopers, Walmart, some of these major shopping centers to sell, convenience stores, gas stations, to sell these full-strength beers, that they're going to eventually feel the ramifications from it. So my first initial thoughts on just that, let's just talk only about that. Forget the pandemic, forget all of that. Let's just talk about these big chains being able to sell liquor. It sucks, right? Right off the bat. But secondly, let's throw 2020 in there. 2020 kicked a lot of people in the you know what. Mm-hmm. And the liquor industry did not. The liquor store industry did not. So this effectively bought them another year to prepare and to get ready. Even though you could buy it everywhere, they still made money the year after that grocery stores, convenience stores could sell full strength beer. They've got no room to talk, in my estimation. Let's open it up to our panel here. Who wants to have the first word? We'll go with Doc.
Yeah, I'll throw something in here as well. We've seen all the numbers, too, that beer sales overall globally are down a little bit. The beer use is down slightly and has been steadily decreasing over the last 4 or 5 years because people are moving to other kinds of alcohols, things like whiskey and vodka and the spirits.
Wine, yeah.
Which you don't usually see because you can't see those in a convenience store.
Right.
Can you get those in a...
I haven't seen a bottle of wine that I'd like to buy in a gas station.
So those are the... consumers are still being directed to go to the liquor store for that kind of service.
That's like sushi gas station food. I mean, you wouldn't buy sushi from a gas station, right? Well, you won't buy wine from a gas station.
No, and obviously, you know, they're not going to have my particular brand of scotch at the gas station, so I'm going to the liquor store where I can get personalized service. So, but, you know, when you see a decline in sales of beer and harder alcohols, just in general... I don't think it's a bad thing to see that people are going to have to change their business model to attract more consumers to come to them, whether it happens to be the convenience store, the supermarket, or the liquor store.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I think we saw a lot of was pushing the drive-through, the convenience factor of being able to go in there. And Don, Chad, any thoughts on this?
Well, I think along those lines, I think a lot of people weren't actually going into the grocery stores. They were doing the click list, it's click list with King Soopers, it's whatever with Walmart and everybody else. So, they weren't getting their beer from the grocery stores. They were picking up their groceries from the store and then probably going to the liquor store and going through the drive-thru. So I would argue that 2020 was probably a boost for liquor stores and the having the availability of the full-strength beer in grocery stores didn't really help anything.
And I'm always worried about the born-on date or the whatever they call it.
Right.
Yeah. How long has it been sitting on the shelf in the convenience store?
And that's something that this is – how many times have I said on this program that consumers are dumb? Because they are, and I'm one of those dumb consumers because I don't check that. I'll check my milk every day of the week when I'm going in there to buy it, but I don't check my beer to see if
– Well, it's more prominent on the milk.
Right. I find an expiration date on so Don, let me ask you this: local brewery owner, have you started distributing to convenience stores and gas stations and supermarkets, or do you still have your liquor stores that you go to?
So at this point, we don't. The only chain or the only grocery store we go to is Whole Foods, and that's through our distribution company in Denver. So other than that, we don't go into any of the big chains right now. There's various reasons for it. Some of it's the insurance requirements they put on us. Some of it's hard to get in there. They have limited shelf space. And so, if you're a big guy, it's easy to get in there. If you're a small guy, it's not as easy.
Not so much. Yeah.
But doesn't that advocate for going to the liquor store?
Absolutely.
I mean, because you can't find Grimm Brothers in King Soopers. You can't find
guys. And
right.
That was the whole discussion I think we had last January before everything else happened, was that, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons liquor stores didn't want this thing in grocery stores was because the little guys weren't going to get shelf space.
Yeah. And I think that's still an uphill battle. And you would, like you said, you'd know more about this, Don. But do you see? I mean, is that something that you'd like to exploit? I mean, let's take the liquor stores out of it. Now I know we're having a liquor store conversation, but as a brewery owner, would you love to have space inside of a King Soopers Target? I mean, do you think that would increase your revenue, your sales?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
So that kind of throughput in those places for sure, but. It's just not viable for everyone to do.
Right. And that's going to continue to be the case. We're talking about liquor stores. There was, again, an article I want to keep referencing out of the Colorado Sun that they did. It was a great piece as well. So if you get a second, check it out. So let's move to phase two of what the complaint was about. And that was they were complaining about restaurants and breweries being able to have to-go sales for beer and cocktails and the ability to be able to deliver alcohol. Chad, I'm going to let you run with this one because I feel like if anyone can speak on this from a restaurant owner, liquor stores should shut their mouth.
I just don't understand the argument because, number one, to-go liquor is not our big focus. Number two, in order for us to sell a to-go cocktail or beer, we have to have food attached to that. So people aren't just coming to the restaurant buying a six-pack of beer or a bottle of whiskey or a bottle of wine. They're ordering a cocktail and a meal, or they're ordering a bottle of wine to go with whatever food they're ordering. It's not just cocktails. It's essentially that they were going out to have a nice dinner. They're just choosing it to take it home with them.
And that's what my point was, too. I'm not I love the tavern. I'm not going to go to the tavern and pick up a six-pack of beer on my way home. I'm not. That's not why I would go there. I would go there to eat dinner, pick up dinner, and get a couple of beers to go along with it.
Well, and to be honest,
you don't want that, do you?
I don't want that. I'll sell liquor and cocktails to go all the time, but restaurants are going to charge you a lot more than the liquor store is going to.
Right.
You know, I have to cover my cost and make my margins to where I need them to be. And it's much higher margins than a liquor store is probably going to be. So if we're occasionally selling a few beers,
it's a little extra revenue to bump up what you've lost from 2020.
Absolutely.
And my concern is that, you know, where was this complaint 20 years ago when restaurants were selling beers with their pizzas and their other food that they're selling?
Yeah.
So I never heard of a liquor store saying, that restaurant is serving alcohol with the food and we're supposed to only serve the alcohol. That I've never heard that argument before, so this just doesn't make any sense.
Don, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole idea as a brewery side, I mean, we've always been able to sell beer to go, so that hasn't changed. I guess it's the delivery that the concern is, but honestly, at least for us, our delivery is, gosh, once every 2 weeks we might have a delivery. People aren't really jumping on the bandwagon to have beer delivered from the breweries.
Right.
Normally, if you're looking for a beer, you want it now. I mean, you don't want to wait on the delivery hours or between this and that. Yeah, you'll jump in your vehicle and go get it.
But calling Uber to take it to the place to pick up the beer because the party is almost over. It's just, you know, I can understand.
No party in COVID, Doc. No partying allowed in 2020.
No, you could be doing it by yourself. But what I'm trying to say is that
a party for one.
A party for one. What I'm
when
trying
you
to
run
say
out
is
of that.
There are cases where I could easily see a delivery being a benefit. Or something, but I don't know how much of a business driver it is at this point.
But this benefits the liquor stores, too, if they use it right. The delivery exactly. aspect of it. Let me set the scenario. Chad's drunk. It's 9 p.m. I just didn't want to use me because, like I said last a couple weeks ago, I'm always making myself look like a fool.
Chad's
like I'm
always drunk by himself at home.
Eating fried and chicken.
Run out of beer.
Okay, fine. I'm drunk at 9 p.m. And I ran out of beer. I didn't plan ahead. My first thought is, let me call Domino's. But, I mean, that's not where it goes. My first goes, okay, either an Uber to the liquor store, or if these liquor stores can implement some sort of an effective, cost-efficient delivery system, people still think, and this is where they have to keep it this way, right? Because as things change, as things evolve, mentality from the consumer changes. But if you think, right now, people think beer, liquor store, perfect for liquor stores. If you can keep that and say beer, can't drive, liquor store, delivery. That's what they – it's a couple extra steps, but that will only benefit liquor stores in my opinion.
And then why not try to change the rules or something to get Grubhub and Uber Eats and places like that to swing by, McDonald's, pick you up what you want to eat there in the liquor store.
A Big Mac and a six-pack. Man, that's –
you see what I'm saying?
Sounds like one hell of a Wednesday night.
But you see what I'm saying? That I mean, there are ways around this where it makes everybody happy. But liquor stores need to think outside the box. They haven't been forced
to do that
yet. And that's the biggest problem, I think, right now. Restaurants and breweries really have had to do that.
Well, we're not sitting here trying to crap on liquor stores.
No,
there's a lot of great liquor store owners out there. But this article coming out and painting this with such a broad stroke, it was a bad look on the liquor store industry. Really, it was a bad look on all of them. Even though it was just the one that was quoted was out of Denver that doesn't understand the local business feel, and that's the issue with this article that came out, and it's a bad look on liquor stores.
It was kind of like that "let them eat cake" kind of statement, from the French Revolution. They were, the one that's making all the money is telling everybody else they can just have the cake. And it's like, well, I'm sorry, that you haven't had to think outside the box yet and just realize that you're doing quite well. Just change the way you're doing business to maintain it or to improve it.
And I think you're going to see, hopefully, them adapt, right? They have to.
Or is it just another thing that any press is good press, so we're going to make a obscure statement or, I don't know, crazy statement and say, hey, let's get in the press.
But if you were in
free publicity.
Right. But if you were in an industry in 2020 that made money, I will say this again. Keep your mouth shut.
Count your blessings.
Count your blessings.
That's a better way to say it, probably. But, I mean, it was just ridiculous to me. Thoughts on delivery out of liquor stores? I'm sure the liquor stores that you distribute to, you'd be happy if they had another distribution system,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's a great idea. It's a good opportunity.
And I know there are a couple liquor stores that do that. I think that will continue to grow. I really do. And hopefully, look, at the end of the day, anybody in the brewing industry, a good liquor store with a good distribution system that you're in helps your business too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'd buy from that liquor store too.
So. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we all buy from liquor stores. I mean, and so the convenience factor is what people are looking for. If you can start to get a hold of this and get ahead of it. Don't complain about it. Yeah. 6:35 the time. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We're going to try this new release from Grimm as we continue on with our conversation. Liquor stores, we love you. Get your crap together. It's Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Rumors spreading around in that Texas town. About to check outside the game.
Welcome back in, 6:40 the time. Welcome into Brew Talk Radio, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Beer Hub.
I like that idea, don't you?
Yeah,
right?
It's like Grubhub for beer.
Yeah, why not? That sounds like a great idea. As we were talking during the break, I think...
Patent pending.
Yeah. Patent pending, yes. I think we're going to need some legislation to allow that to happen, but why not?
Also, we take 20% of every purchase. and Chad will write in there and take the 20% of the beer that they buy and bring it back to us.
Well, that's 40% of the beer. That sounds like income tax. That doesn't sound good at all.
Right, yeah. I could go to Wendy's and spend $8, or I can have it Grubhub to my place for $47.52. And my lazy you-know-what will damn sure Grubhub
that. But wouldn't it be cool if you're out of food and it's on a Saturday afternoon, you just call up Beer Hub and have them swing by and pick you up a six-pack and a hamburger?
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a great idea.
There is a... there's an idea, and this is patent pending already, okay? Because if I lose this patent on this, my brother's going to kick my butt. But he wants to start, you know, I live out in the country a little bit, 20 minutes from anywhere that you can get food or beer. We want to start a electric car company where it's just that, but it's only to the country. So Grubhub and Uber and everybody can keep the city. You get an electric car that will run back and forth, and yeah, the time will be a little bit bigger, but you don't have to spend money on gas or anything like that. It would honestly make you money.
Bullet Beer Hub. So we've got a bullet train electric vehicle.
Yes. It's like the Coors Light bullet
zips
train.
Slips out to Gill.
Right? Yep.
Slips out to Gill. Drops things off and then goes all the way back here to the liquor stores and the foods.
And you get your cold hamburger and soggy fries with your six-pack of beer.
But I didn't tell you the best part. These electrical cars have microwaves in them.
Ooh, okay.
So you get rubberized.
I'm just pitching this. Any investors at the table so far? Ryan's in. I can see that.
Well, I've ordered soggy fries and a cold hamburger from just across town, so I'm with you. I'm in.
What about hamster tubes that are like those things that you just put like the food in one end and goes all the way to the other side?
Is it Domino's that has the ovens in their car?
Right.
Holding ovens?
I think it is. But
I like the bank tubes, the sucky bank tubes.
if you're ordering food or drinks at that point, odds are you don't give a damn what that tastes like when it gets there. You just need some sustenance.
For the convenience.
You need some sustenance by the time it gets there. So patent pending on that. We don't have a name on it yet, but nobody can have electric cars that go into the country. Plus, the ridicule for driving an electric car when you pull into somebody's yard in the country would probably be part.
Pull up to that farmhouse with their diesel trucks surrounding. Yeah.
You got to have
that Prius out of here.
You got to have a drone.
Yeah. See, Amazon's probably not far off from that. Probably not. I don't know.
California
and stuff, don't they?
Are they running those now? Yeah. I thought that was just crazy thing I saw on memes.
Oh, no, that's actually a real thing.
Beer Hub now with drones. I like that idea.
I like that.
If I get one beer that's cracked or broken, shoot that drone down the next
You're
time.
You're only allowed to buy aluminum cans.
I like it.
Reduce the weight.
I hope there's a lot of million-dollar investors listening right now out there.
Elon Musk, are you listening?
Yeah.
No, Tanner at the rocket.
Tanner at 1310kfk.com. That would be perfect. Send your investment opportunities there. Or wait, send your credit card information there. 644, let's try this beer. Don, walk us through a little bit. This is your release every single year. This is your Valentine's beer.
So we do this every year with the Chamber of Commerce in Loveland for the official Valentine's beer. And every year we kind of change it up a little bit. So this year it's a Baltic Porter that we brewed with. We barrel-aged in bourbon barrels and added vanilla to it. So it's not over-the-top bourbon and vanilla, but it's kind of a nice balance to the Baltic Porter aspect.
And to me, the bourbon adds kind of a cherry-like flavor to it without it being cherries, if that makes sense. So you get this like a...
A little warm bit of sweetness
that's kind of like a chocolate cordial, cherry or something.
Yeah.
Even though there's no cherries, you can tell that it's kind of like got that cordial texture to it. And
what's the ABV on this?
Wonderful.
Know off the top of my head. I'd have to look in the system.
No, it's all good.
I guess it's around 7%, though.
Yeah, I was going to say you can taste it a little bit. So Mindy McLuhan, the chamber president, joined Mornings with Gail this morning. As I was driving in, I was listening into Mindy's conversation, and the question was posed of, you can send a letter Right. Can you walk us through that? Do you know that whole process?
Yes. Yeah, so Loveland for a long time has done a Valentine's remailing program.
The Sweetheart City, right?
Yep. So you can actually purchase the official Valentine's card designed by a local artist, and then you can send it in with inside of an envelope. You have your address envelope you want to go to pre-stamped, and then it'll go through the post office there, and they have a cancellation stamp that they've designed every year special for the program that they'll then stamp it and send it back out to wherever you want to go. So you can send a Loveland Valentine to whoever.
Right. So. And so that question was posed to Mindy this morning of what are a couple of the stories that stuck out. I don't know if I got something in my eye right when she started telling these stories or what, but some of those stories, man, get you about half choked up listening to, one of the stories that was told this morning was this woman had received a Valentine's card from her grandma every single year, and her grandma had passed away, and wrote. And so the woman had wrote a letter to Loveland, and they had every member of the Chamber of Commerce stamp it and sign it and send one back to her so that she still got that card. There was another story that they said of a daughter who had lost her father and wrote a card and said, Daddy, if you're in heaven, please come back, and send it through this program as well. So I don't mean to get it. We're getting wet eyes in
way,
here.
Way
as well.
To bring the show down.
Well, I'm just trying to show what this means. I mean, this is a big, it's not just, this is not
I'm
just
not
a,
crying, you're crying.
We're both are. It's not just the, it's, this is not just a beer release.
No, this is for Loveland's Valentine's celebration. So this is definitely part of our town and part of the culture there. So
it's a very cool one too. And again, how many years have you been doing this for?
The chamber approached us. Gosh, the first year we started, I think, so 10 years now.
That's,
so we've been doing it for 10 years.
That's crazy. So does the chamber have any input? It's Mindy in there, because I could totally see Mindy McLuhan stopping by and saying, "Here's what you need to be." Do they have any input, or are they just drinking it afterwards?
This is what we do. We make the beer, and we do it with them though for the program.
So. Yeah, no, that's awesome, and it's an incredible beer. This is I've had a couple in the past of your Bleeding Heart. I think that this might be my favorite. I don't know if mm-hmm. for you guys as well, but
because this is a very good one, that's for sure.
Yeah, you guys change the recipe each year, right?
Yeah, it's usually a porterish beer, but the last few years it's been this Baltic porter, and we like the Baltic porter because it makes a good base to do the flavorings and it's good. It's non offensive to most beer drinkers. Mm-hmm. It's got a good malty background to it, and it can blend well with all kinds of different other flavors.
And that vanilla is just, it really is so smooth.
It's really nice.
Is it? Wow.
Yeah. We try not to go over the top because we want this beer to be approachable by everyone.
It is, too. We're talking about the Bleeding Heart from Grimm Brothers Brew House, which is our brew hop stop for January. Was this beer, did it go as planned? Was there any hitches? Because I would have to imagine that when you're working in conjunction with somebody, a little extra pressure, because you can't miss that release. I mean, if you've got something, you're okay, this beer's going well, here's the release date. Sorry, it got pushed back. This one you can't do that with.
You know, honestly, actually, I think out of everything in 2020, this one went pretty well. we hit everything on the dot, and it was all right there, ready to go. So I think this was actually the better year.
Yeah, it tastes incredible, and we talk about can art. We'll talk about that a little bit later on with one of the beers that Chad brought in, actually, but. That's a recognizable logo. You know what that beer is, and I'm sure that. What was your thoughts when was this the same logo you've had for 10 years, or has this changed a little bit?
Yeah. So our artist, when he did this for us 10 years ago, we told him we wanted a Valentine's label, but we didn't want it kitschy or something like that. We wanted something that kind of represented our branding, and we wanted that kind of edge on it. And this is what he came up with, and it's awesome.
So. It is. It is. It's awesome. I'm supposed to be the radio guy with all the words, but that adjective is perfect for this. And the beer that came out of it was awesome as well.
I have no complaints whatsoever.
Whenever Doc's quiet on a beer.
Yeah, sorry.
That's a great
that's a
sign.
Good thing.
That's a great sign.
Well, thank you.
What's the term that you use when you don't really...
Interesting.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, when I don't really have anything nice to say, or
that's or, an, so if he ever
don't
says
give
that's
away interesting. Secrets.
Well, oh, okay, I won't. Give
I don't.
Away
have
secrets.
You ever said that about a grim beer though?
No.
I mean, yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. I didn't think you had. Closing in on 6:51, let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side, wrap up hour number one, reset what the show's going to be about, going into hour number two, double IPAs. Want to be a part of the conversation? Hell, why not? Call in 970-353-1310. Let's take a break. It's Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Welcome back. Tanner's pushing the buttons. I'm just showing stuff off, okay? I'm just telling people get interested when they come into the studio, and there's a big red button here. So if Chad ever gets pissed off at me and wants to push that down and say no more,
I get tired of listening to Tanner's.
He can just hit that red button, and all of a sudden I'm done, which is
that
good.
Means me and Doc have to talk.
Yeah.
You know how it is when we're trying to go.
Don, make sure you
time.
Pick him up. Right. These amateurs over here. I don't know if they can go for a while.
I can't even see the clock.
Clock. So, are we on time?
We have to follow a clock?
We don't need no stinking clock.
6:54 the time, Chad. Welcome back in. It's Brew Talk Radio. Thanks for being with us. So the Bleeding Heart, how much did you brew this?
So this was 30 barrels. We have another 30 barrels following up. So and that's in diacetyl. Actually, that's in lagering right now. So just past diacetyl rest on Monday. So the second batch will be hitting the shelves, well within the time that this is sold out. So
yeah, this is the Sweetheart City beer. This is their Valentine's beer that they do in conjunction with the Loveland Chamber of Commerce. Great people at the Loveland Chamber of Commerce too. Really been quite frankly enamored with what Mindy McLuhan and company have been able to do, and I'm sure you can talk more about that.
Oh, absolutely. They're good advocates for our community.
Yeah, I remember so Mindy's a little intimidating, isn't she?
She is, yeah.
Yeah, and so yeah, she is. She's great. Once you get to know her, it's fantastic. And so I have two Mindy stories. The first time I had her on my program, I was definitely intimidated. I'm like, this woman is far smarter than I am. So you knew that right off the bat, which I know it doesn't take much, but she was far smarter than I was. Chad, I beat you to the joke. And I started asking her questions, and one of the clips that, you know, I stole because it was such a good clip was, if we can keep Walmart open, we can damn sure keep our small businesses open. And that's been her motto since day one.
Yeah, it has, and she is she's been right there, step in step with us through the fight, and just has done amazing things for the businesses in Loveland and Larimer County in whole.
Yeah, and the second Mindy McLuhan story I have is, I called her one day. I was driving down the road, headed to a meeting. Actually, I was going to meet Morgan, and I called Mindy, and it was time to schedule another interview. And she answers, and I said, "Hey, Mindy, it's Tanner with KFK. Are you busy?" And she goes, I'm on a Zoom meeting with the state capitol right now. The governor's getting ready to step in. What can I do for you? Not hang up on me, not click the call. It was what I said, I'd love to have you on to talk about what you're doing. Great. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And then the hang up came. But that's the kind of person, no matter how big, how small, whatever industry, that's who she's advocating for.
Absolutely,
it's great. You love to see what Mindy
McLuhan.
The fact
that she answered the phone when she's waiting to talk
right.
with the governor.
Exactly right.
That says more than enough about what they're doing. And Loveland has really set the way with the Level Up program. It's been great, and I know you guys have been instrumental in that as well. Morgan's been Morgan, who normally behind the scenes, right, stepping out in front.
Yeah. She got kind of called in on that, and she handled it like a champ, and there wouldn't have been anybody that could have done it better.
No, so, she really was, because she's got a, we talked about your staff. She's got that perfect ability to that poop filled Twinkie, right? So that she's got that to her where she can say, yeah, here you go, it's a Twinkie. Oh, and you'd still be like, thank you for that at the end of it. That's that's her ability.
That is absolutely,
and that's a dynamic tool to have.
It is, yes.
We're talking with Don Chapman, the owner of Grimm Brothers Brewhouse. Fellas, hour number two. Are we ready for some double IPAs?
I have been all day.
Always ready for
Doc's
double IPAs.
Geared up and ready to go.
Yeah. The alarm clock went off. Double IPA, double IPA. That's what Doc woke up to this
That's
morning.
Right.
Hope you're ready to go. Hour number two. So we're going to all taste these again. We're going to step outside during the break. We're going to have Ryan pour these double IPAs into glasses. We don't know what's going to be what. And we're going to come back and try them, debate about it a little bit, and then give our ratings. So hour number two is going to be fun. These beers are we can refrigerate these, right?
Yep.
Okay, we might need those for next week. Just throwing it out there. It's Brew Talk Radio. We'll be back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Brew Talk Radio right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.